The father factor. The father factor. Let's say that together. The father factor. The Spirit of God led me into the ministry of the Word today in a way that I would describe to be a reverse angle. And so it's going to start off in Matthew chapter 22. And what I would describe as a reverse angle, because as the Spirit of God was putting this Word together, I thought, okay, well, where are we going with this? And the Spirit of God said, reverse angle, we're coming at it from a reverse angle. So just keep that in mind as we're going through the first couple of brackets of Scripture. And from Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 38, we see here a depiction of one of the Pharisees who was an expert in religious law. And he asked Jesus, which commandment of God is the greatest? You think he would know, being an expert in the law of Moses. But he was just trying to trip Jesus up. Many of the experts of the religious law of Jesus' day were trying to trip him up in some way or another to see if he would say something that was contrary to the Word of God. How many of you here, since you've come to be believers, have had people that have tried to trip you up in one way or another? Anybody here lift an honest hand with me and say, oh man, I don't think they're really being genuine about that question. I think they're just trying to trip me up in some way or another. Well, you're in good company, because this is what was happening to Jesus pretty regularly. And here we have an example of it. But Jesus answered with what the Word of God says. Amen. How many of you here know when someone is trying to trip you up with something, trying to twist something, trying to twist the Word of God, trying to twist something to trip you up or entrap you, all you need to do, catch this now, is to agree with the Word of God says. Amen. God's Word says this about that. God's Word says this about that. Let's say it together. God's Word says this about that. Amen?
Amen.
And when we do that, we won't get tripped up.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus answered this expert in the law, and he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. For this is the first and greatest commandment. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
The Spirit of God is urging us today that if you are keeping this commandment in every area of your life, catch this now, then you will inherently keep all the other commandments of God. Amen?
Amen.
Think about that. If you're purposing to love and honor God first in every area of your life, thoughts, words, and actions, what you would think and say and do, what you would refrain from thinking, saying, and doing, then inherent in that act of obedience to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, inherent in that is that you're naturally going to be fulfilling all the other commandments that follow that. Amen?
Amen.
Go take a look at the Ten Commandments sometime this week and see what God started with. And then all the other commandments that follow. If you do the first one consistently, you're naturally going to do all the rest of them. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Jesus' answer was perfectly consistent. Jesus' answer to this expert in the law was perfectly consistent with what God had instructed the Israelites through Moses, as referenced from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. God was speaking to His people then through Moses. And God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is speaking to us today in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord, who is the fulfillment of the law. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Oh, people of God, the Lord is our God. The Lord alone. The Lord alone. Let's say that together. The Lord alone. And so you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength.
Amen.
And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to the commands of God that have been given to you. Everybody say wholeheartedly.
Wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly.
Repeat the commands of God again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home. And when you are on the road, talk about them when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them upon your forehead as reminders. Anybody here have a wristband, a bracelet, or a headband, or a hat that has scripture inscribed on it? Anybody here have something like that? Well, the bottom line is that what we put our hands to and what we set our mind upon would be in line with the commands of God. Amen?
Amen?
That's really what that means. Tie them to your hands. Wear them on your forehead as reminders. It's not talking about stylish apparel. Amen?
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Anybody here have a placard or a wall hanging in the entryway of your house that makes known a scriptural truth for your household? Anybody here have something like that? We have Joshua 24:15 in our house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
God speaking through Moses goes on to say, "For you and your children and grandchildren must reverence the Lord your God for as long as you live. And if you obey His decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long good life." How many of you here up for a long good life in the Lord? Amen?
Amen.
Length of days. Amen?
Amen.
Well, it's up to us to submit ourselves to obedience to His word and will. Amen?
Right.
So listen closely and be careful to obey. Be careful to obey. Let's say that together. Be careful to obey. Then it will go well with you and your children. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
Now, with reference to these commands of God, Israelite history reveals that a father, especially so a father, was to be diligent in instructing his children in the ways and words of the Lord for their spiritual development and well-being. The responsibility was especially so on the father of the household. How many of you here today understand that God has set forth a scriptural precedent that men are to be the spiritual head of the household?
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
Certainly women have an essential complementary role as wives and mothers and co-heirs in Christ. Aren't you glad for that? But the spiritual responsibility of the household rests primarily on the man. Whether you like it or not, Dad. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 gives us some valuable instruction. To train a child in the way he should go, not just any old way, not in a worldly way or in a cultural way, not in a secular humanistic way or in a selfish or self-centered way, but train a child in the way that he should go. And which way is that? Teaching him to seek God's wisdom and God's will for his abilities and talents. Amen?
Amen.
And then, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
A father who is being obedient to the commands of Scripture does just that. Children are absolutely a gift from God. I know sometimes as parents you wonder about that, right? This one is a gift from God? This is a gift from... I could see how this one might be a gift from you, God, but this one? Anybody here ever wrangle about that with kids? When Lucy and I had our children, by the time we had our twin daughters, Christina and Kara, we had four kids under the age of four. Because our daughter Nicole was only 3 and a half. Our son Andrew was 2. And Christy and Kara were newborns. And you want to talk about wondering how much children are a blessing and a gift from God? There were some intense times in our household. Amen? But make no mistake about it, we're going to say what God's Word says about those children. Amen?
Amen.
Children are absolutely a gift from God, whether it feels like it or not sometimes. Amen?
Yes.
But catch this now. What you make of them by way of godly training is your gift back to God.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Now, the word train in this verse indicates the first instructions. The first instructions, let's say that together. The first instructions that a father would give to a child in his early years of education, typically during the first 7 to 8 years, when the child's mindset is most formative. How many of you recognize that there's a window of opportunity that you have from cradle to about 7 or 8 years old where you're establishing the foundation that 'll be set for a child's life, for the most part?
Yeah.
Training that begins early on in a child's life that is designed to make clear to the child the manner of life that God has intended for them. Amen?
Amen.
Recognizing the critical importance of a child's early formative education, informing their perception of God with a biblical worldview.
Yes.
How many of you recognize that as parents you're forming your child's perception of God,
right,
and how you handle them?
Mm-hmm.
Those early formative years, catch this now, are a window of opportunity that you will never have back again in the formative foundation of a child's life perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that I understood that early on in my walk with the Lord. When we were dealing with 4 kids under the age of 4. God spoke that so clearly to me. And I took that so seriously, as imperfectly as I did that. How many imperfect parents are in the bunch today? Can anybody lift a hand and join with me? And I'm an imperfect parent, but thank God for His grace. Amen. Thank God for repentance and for mercy. And thank God that I'm not who I was and I'm not yet who I'm going to be. Amen. I can be better and better and better in Christ Jesus, my Savior and Lord, not only as a man of God, but as a dad. Amen. You can be too, as one who calls yourself by Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen?
Now in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, the Apostle Paul is speaking to believers of his day, and God by His Spirit is speaking to us today. And what I would characterize as a summary of instructions to fathers, which makes the distinction between being a negative or a positive influence on your children. The Amplified transliteration reads it like this: Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial and unreasonable or humiliating or abusive. Do not exasperate, aggravate, or offend them by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them. But rather bring them up tenderly with loving kindness, admonishing them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. I'm so blessed by my mother-in-law, Elena. She would always say, I love you all the same. I love you all the same. She would always say that about her 4 daughters. And now I'm blessed to be, through marriage, one of her sons. And she would say, and she says this all the time, I love you all the same. There's no favoritism. Amen? She does tell me privately that I'm her favorite, though. Gotcha, Mom. Gotcha. Shh. Don't tell anybody else. You're my favorite. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A godly father is not to foster negativity in his children by severity or by injustice or by partiality or the unreasonable exercise of authority. God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is cautioning us to guard against inflexible authoritarian mannerism that gives little space for grace. Everybody say, give space for grace.
Give space for grace.
Harsh and unreasonable conduct towards a child that gives no space for grace will only serve to nurture resentment in their heart. Now the word provoke in this verse means irritate. Irritate. Now, nobody here has a dad that irritates them, right? Anybody here have a dad with irritating tendencies? Anybody here? Okay. Uh-oh. One hand came up in the back. Irritating quirks. But this word irritate, I'm sorry, this word provoke. Stop provoking me. This word provoke goes beyond irritating quirks. I think we all have irritating quirks, amen? Whether you're a dad or not. There's things that people just don't like about us. I love you, but I really don't like that part of what you're saying or doing. But this word provoke goes beyond irritating quirks, to exasperate, to incite, to instigate, to inflame. And the inference of a provoking father is that of severe methods of unreasonable sternness, harsh demands, needless restrictions, and insistent, selfish, dictatorial authority, which will ultimately produce adverse reactions in a child. And catch this now. It runs the serious risk of dampening or even deadening a child's affection. Serious stuff. Making them feel that they could never please their parents, and ultimately demotivating them from seeking to please God. Serious, sobering points here.
Yeah.
Truth without grace is legalism.
Yeah.
But grace without truth is permissivism. But truth with grace is godly activism. Amen?
Amen.
Truth with grace. Let's say that together. Truth with grace. Amen?
Amen.
A wise parent seeks to make obedience desirable and attainable, and at times by tough love, but with gentleness. Amen?
Yeah.
Educating them and bringing them up in such a way that develops godly attitudes and conduct in every situation and circumstance that unfolds along the way of their lives, guiding them along with loving admonition. Loving admonition. Let's say that together. Loving admonition. Now, the word admonition in this verse, referencing Ephesians 6:4, this word admonition carries the idea of constructively reminding a child of his faults and constructively reminding a child of his responsibilities in God's eyes. Mow the lawn, son, in the name of Jesus. Take the garbage out, son, in the name of Jesus. Anybody here have a dad like that? Now, I know nobody here has kids that are faulty or irresponsible, right? This is the place to be for faultless, responsible children. Amen. Kingdom Outpost Church Fellowship. Amen. Such an anointed bunch we are. Amen. Perfect children. All around. Look at them all. Look how wonderfully they're sitting, obediently receiving the word of the Lord as it comes to them. Amen. But ultimately, a God-fearing father is meant to be an instrument in God's hand. Ultimately. And catch this now. Sometimes that means a wooden spoon in dad's hand, applied to the child's backside in a controlled and loving way to reset the trip switch of obedience. How many of you here know that there's a switch, one on each side of the buttock muscles on a child? There's one on each side. And sometimes that gets tripped. And you got to trip it back. Right? It's like, wait a minute. You've tripped a switch here. But this helps to propagate the process of instruction and discipline that God directs by the standard of His Word, and the refining direction of the Holy Spirit. Catch this now. The refining direction of the Holy Spirit in the midst of disciplinary action related to the particulars at hand in that situation. Amen?
Amen.
Every situation is a little bit different, and you need the Holy Spirit's help to guide you in delineating the particulars in the situation at hand so that God's authority would be brought consistently into play with the mind and heart and conscience of the child. Amen?
Amen.
Make no mistake about it. And I know that this is not politically correct or culturally acceptable in the culture that we live in. But we're going to say what God's Word says about it. Amen?
Amen.
God's Word directs us that there is a time for corporeal physical punishment in the process of godly discipline.
Right.
There's a time for it. You teach and correct. Teach and correct. Teach and correct with truth and grace. Truth and grace. Truth and grace. Amen?
Amen.
But when obstinate rebellion rears its ugly head, then it's necessary to appropriate controlled physical punishment. Everybody say controlled.
Controlled.
That's right.
Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 says this: He who withholds the rod hates his children, but he who loves his children cares enough to discipline them. Amen?
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Make a note of it. The rod of discipline removes the foolishness that's bound up in a child's heart.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 23, verses 13 and 14 says, Do not spare your child the rod of discipline. If you spank them, they won't die. Although they feel like they're going to die. How many of you here with parents ever brought your kids into a place of controlled spanking and you just think that they are going to die any second? And they're screaming and kicking and going, Ah, no, no, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Well, it's a little late.
Yes.
But we'll get to the reconciliation in a minute. Amen? If you spank them, they won't die. The rod of discipline may well save them. And then finally, Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame. Make no mistake about it. A father's human understanding should never be the ultimate authority to determine truth and duty in a child's life. It's only by promoting the authority of God as the ultimate father that the goals of godly training can be attained. Amen?
Amen.
And remember this, they're God's kids first.
Right.
Amen? God doesn't have any grandchildren.
Right.
Every person is one of His kids. I came across a saying by Martin Luther related to training up a child in the Lord. And it goes like this. Keep an apple beside the rod to give the child when he does well. Keep an apple beside the rod to give the child when he does well. Amen?
Yeah.
Here's the point. Discipline that is exercised with watchful care, watchful care, watchful care. Let's say that together. Watchful care. Discipline that is exercised with watchful care brings both reproof for disobedience and reward for obedience. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. We want to reinforce obedience.
Right.
Sometimes we don't spend as much time as parents reinforcing obedience.
Right. Right.
And we spend an inordinate greater amount of time reproving for disobedience, but not so much so rewarding for obedience. Amen?
Right.
This kind of discipline enables the child to grow up with a healthy reverence for God. Respect for parental authority and knowledge of biblical standards and habits of self-control. A healthy reverence for God, catch this now, is not being afraid of God.
That's right.
But rather it's a humble attitude toward an approachable God who is perfectly righteous. Amen?
Amen.
Approachability.
Amen.
Is one of the goals of fathering. That your children would see that you're real and that you're approachable. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's how God our Heavenly Father is, right? He's real and He's approachable. Amen?
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17 reminds us that all of Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and useful for rebuking and useful for correcting and training in righteousness. And so catch this now. A father's first responsibility is to acquaint himself with the Word of God topically. Amen?
Amen.
That was a motivator for me to get into the Word. When my kids were little, 3.5 years old, 2 years old, and newborns, I was just saved a few months. And that was a motivator for me. I need to know what God's Word says topically so that I can tell these kids what God's Word says about that. Amen?
Right.
Taking the Bible as a whole, principally, on any given topic, I would highly encourage you to do topical studies in the Bible. Which is something that I did along the way, not bragging or complaining, just grateful that God's Word has something to say about everything. Amen?
Right.
Pick a topic. And look through every verse in the Bible that has to do with that topic, amen? And find out what God has to say about that topic, amen?
That's right, yes, that's right.
From A to Z. Encourage you to do that if you haven't already. Taking the Bible as a whole, principally and topically, on any given topic, so that the principles of God's Word can be propagated to our children and to the people around us. Amen? You don't necessarily need to be a Bible scholar or to be able to quote every chapter and verse, although that's beneficial. But mostly what you need to be able to do is say, God's Word says this about that. Amen?
That's right.
You can paraphrase God's Word. If you know what God's Word says, you can paraphrase it and say, God's Word says this about that. And the Spirit of God will come and back what you're saying because you're backing what God's Word says, even though it's in a paraphrased way. Amen?
Amen.
Do you know what God's Word says about this or that? People have a lot to say about one thing or another. Maybe you've noticed in this hyper-information age that we live in. But we want to discipline ourselves to say, God's Word says this about that. Amen.
That's right. Yes. Amen.
Now maybe you've noticed this, but every child is wired a little differently from one another. Anybody here notice this with kids? They're wired a little differently from one another. And so depending on the personality and particular emotional sensitivities of the child, catch this now, the means and methods that a father may use to teach God's truths from one child to the other may vary. The means and methods may vary, but catch this now, the bottom line is that a faithful father models what he is teaching his children. Amen?
Amen.
The principles stay the same. The means and methods may vary depending on how the child is wired, depending on the child's personality, depending on the child's emotional sensitivities. But the principles are the same. Amen?
That's right. Amen.
And the bottom line is that a faithful father models what he's teaching his children with a willingness to admit when he has fallen short and asking forgiveness and making it right with his kids. That doesn't undermine your authority or your leadership when you ask your kids for forgiveness when you have fallen short with them for the times when you've misjudged or misappropriated disciplinary measures. Oh, I've been there more times than I'd like to admit. But there's power in getting eye to eye with your kid and saying, I missed that one. I misjudged that one. Will you forgive me? Amen?
Amen.
Make no mistake about it. At some point, kids are going to do what you do more than do what you say. Is what you're doing lining up with what you're telling your kids to do? A truly loving father points a child directly to the love of God, our Heavenly Father, by being amiably engaged with his children. And in a contrasting way, a father who is disengaged or distant or angry or hard to please or emotionally vacant may unfortunately foster some difficult feelings and even disillusionment in how a child will view God and God's care for us. Sobering points to take seriously. And so celebrating Father's Day is not easy for some people. Many people struggle over and wrestle with hurtful memories of abuse and abandonment of the very one who was supposed to provide, protect, and nurture them. Some struggle with a dad who was absent because of divorce or even an early death. But no matter what your experience has been growing up, or even where you find yourself now, the Lord God Almighty Father still reigns supreme over all. Amen?
Amen.
Some of you need to hear that more than others.
Yes.
The Lord God Almighty, your Heavenly Father, still reigns supreme over all, no matter what you've gone through. Amen?
Amen.
And He cares for you. And He loves you with an everlasting love. And He is near to you. And He is perfectly trustworthy. Amen? And His heart for you as your Abba Father is pouring out upon you now by God's Spirit now as I speak. Sheltering you and embracing you through all of the most difficult memories and experiences. Carrying you forward with His healing and His comfort.
Amen.
And His care. Amen?
Amen?
Aren't you glad for that?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Sometimes we lose sight of that.
Yeah.
In the tumult of our difficult memories. I was reminded of Psalm 68, verse 5. It encourages us afresh that God is a father to the fatherless. Amen?
Amen?
Make no mistake about it, painful experiences are never wasted when God is supreme over our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
When you're loving God above all else and remaining committed to His word and will, then He will cause everything to work together for your greater good and for His greatest glory. Amen? Are you loving God above all else in every area of your life? Are you purposing to remain committed to His word and perfect will for your life? Well, if you are, then He will cause all things,
yes,
past, present, and future, to work together. He will cause all things to work,
yes,
together.
Amen.
For your greater good and for His greatest glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. When certain experiences have hurt us or even harmed us, God can still use it for our greater good and for His greatest glory. Amen?
Amen.
And so on this commemorative day, if you are blessed to be a dad, you've been given a priceless privilege, the privilege of pointing your children to God, bottom line. The privilege of leading and loving in such a way that shapes and directs the life of a child for all of eternity. That they would come to a knowledge, a personal heart knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord early in their lives. Amen? With evidences of new birth.
Amen.
Now, naturally speaking, researchers over the years have determined that kids generally do better socially, academically, and emotionally when dads are actively involved and participating in their lives. Everybody say actively involved.
Actively involved.
But it's not just the fact that fathers are physically present that matters. How many of you here know that a dad can be physically present but really functionally absent?
Yeah.
It's not so much about the father being physically present that matters, but it's more about how they are when they are present. Amen?
Yeah.
Generally speaking, kids tend to thrive most when dads are providing them with a warm, understanding relationship, lovingly sharing their lives together as they learn and grow in the Lord. Amen? It's challenging, but it's attainable by God's grace. Amen? Make no mistake about it. What you say and how you say it will nurture or deprive the needed affirmation for children to grow up into adults with a godly perception of themselves. What you say and how you say it will either nurture or deprive them of the needed affirmation for them to grow up into adults with a godly perception of themselves. Amen. How many of you here know that that applies to all of our relationships? How we say what we say. It makes a big difference. Amen. How we say it is actually more impactful than the words we're actually saying. Amen. So be encouraged afresh today. Whether or not you grew up with affirming words from your own dad is not the end of the story. Aren't you glad for that? Because God is both at the beginning and at the end of your story. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
God is both at the beginning and the end of your story. Whether or not you grew up with affirming words from your dad, it's not the end of the story for you. Amen?
Amen.
God is both at the beginning and the end of your story. And today He is speaking, affirming love over you in Christ Jesus, your Savior and Lord. Amen?
Amen.
By His Spirit now, He's affirming you and encouraging you and enabling you to become all that He has created for you to be and all that He has called for you to be. All glory and praise and honor to Him forever and forever and forever. Amen?
Amen.
Let's give a hand clap of appreciation to the Lord for what He's doing in our midst. He's a faithful God. Amen. Give Him praise and give Him glory and honor in this place today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Bow your heads now and take a quiet moment of prayer reflection now to the Word of the Lord as it's come to you today.